what Jesus says to the church at Laodicea. You see, the plea of Jesus to his church is recapture your first love. That's what the words of Jesus were to the church at Ephesus. And each of these seven churches is about reclaiming that first love, the love that Jesus gives us, and not to let it go, not to be sidetracked, not to listen to other false doctrines, not to be entranced by worldly things, but to keep Jesus central. Ephesus had grown cold. Smyrna was a church that was burning hot in prayer. Pergamon was a church that was full of worldliness, so it was a worldly chill. Thyatira was a church that was heretical, cold heresy. Sardis was a church of frozen faith. And Philadelphia, a church of living warmth. Now we come to the last of the seven on the circuit, as the letter was sent round, the Church of Asia Minor, Laodicea. And Jesus has no good things to say about this church. No praise, no well done. It's a safe church. It was a church following a middle way. A church really full of nothingness. It was compromised. It was comfortable. Laodicea, the town, was a rich commercial centre. It was a medical centre. There were textile industries there, and it had been restored by its own efforts after an earthquake in AD 60. So it was really self-satisfied as a community. And the church had been founded through a real struggling prayer. We learn about something about the church being founded at Laodicea in Colossians, where Epaphras, colleague of Paul, had struggled in prayer for this church and the church of Colossae, which was nearby. And Paul wrote a letter to them. We've got evidence that Paul had written a letter to the church at Laodicea. We ain't got it now, though. I wonder why. It's missing. There were words of encouragement and affirmation given to the church at Laodicea as alongside the church at Colossae. So if you want to think about what the Laodiceans were doing right once upon a time, read the letter to the Colossians. Because the letter to the Colossians was also issued to the church at Laodicea. And the letter to the church at Laodicea was encouraged and issued to the church at Colossae. They were to share the news that Paul gave. But something had gone badly, badly wrong at Laodicea. And now Jesus, in his letter, gives them severe condemnation. Why is that? Well, the fork seemed to have lacked consistency and fidelity and faith. There was compromise and accommodation with the society that surrounded them. They'd adapted to the demands of the world. They were comfortable. And they're a real warning to us. A real warning to us. The more we compromise, the more we just enter into worldly ways, the more powerless and useless we become. The church boasted that it was spiritual, but it was weak and miserable in God's sight. So let's look at the verses. What does Jesus say to this church? And I've taken my readings from the English Standard Version. There ain't that much difference, so don't worry. Verse 14, this is the Jesus who speaks. And to the church in Laodicea write the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. Now this is the Jesus who speaks to us. Jesus, the final authority, the living word, the Amen. Amen means finished, complete. Amen, it's over. Wow, Jesus has done it all on the cross. He's died for us in our sins. And he's completed the work. He is the Amen, the final, immutable, stable, certain and sure truth of the world. And that's such a contrast to the world of Laodicea, a world that was threatened, a place that was threatened by earthquake, a shaking world, shifting sand. Jesus is stable and sure. He is faithful and just, the faithful and true witness. He is the witness we can rely on. Jesus is the living word. He has said it. His promises are sure and amen. Because he's seen and known our condition. He knows our needs. He knows where we are. He knows our anxieties. He knows our griefs. He knows our desires, our longings. He knows our sin. But Jesus has carried the burden of it all for us on the cross. But he knows our need. And we are made victorious in him when we come to him. He's carried the weight of our sin. He's honest and pure in his dealings with us. And so this morning, I encourage you, keep looking to Jesus, the author, the finisher of your faith, the Amen, the beginning of God's creation. He began it. Jesus is our creator. Jesus, he was sovereign, the living word. In the beginning was the word, the creator. And he's sovereign rule over all things. So listen to him. He's the perfect amen, witness and creator. Jesus says this to Laodicea and he says it to us. Laodicea was a lukewarm church. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Laodicea was on a river, the river Lycus, but the river Lycus was a muddy river. It was the water there was undrinkable. It was poor water. And so water was piped on an aqueduct from a nearby place called Hierapolis, where there were hot springs. There were hot springs in Hierapolis, and the water came out of Hierapolis and was funneled down through aqueducts and pipes that had been made after the earthquake to the town of Laodicea. But by the time the water reached Laodicea, it wasn't hot anymore. It was lukewarm. It was tepid and full of minerals. Now, we remember once going to Bath. Has anyone been to Bath, to the pump room? And has anyone drunk any of the water there? Isn't it horrible? It's horrible. Oh, and, you know, I remember drinking this water at Bath. It was horrible water, full of minerals. And actually, the water we drank was really tepid. Ugh, don't like this. And that's the water that Jesus has got in his mind as he speaks to the Laodiceans. Now, cold water refreshes. Hot water can cleanse and make a really good cup of tea. Or coffee. But lukewarm water, oh dear. We're always can be swayed by outside circumstances. Now Jesus says to the church, be one state or another, be cold or hot, just don't make just an idle profession of your faith. Don't just be a comfortable Sunday sitter. Don't just think, you know, just, oh, yes, I believe in God. Mm-hmm. No, that's being lukewarm. Be enthused, zealous, anointed by God's Holy Spirit so that we bring the life of Jesus into our community and our environment. Laodicea, someone said, Laodicea was like a bad hotel where all the dishes were cold except the ice cream. And tepid food is quite unappetizing. And so too is lukewarm Christianity. It's unappetizing. Oh, yeah, just let's all be good. Let's all be nice to each other. Yeah. I believe in goodness. Yeah, we all love each other. Yes, let's all love each other. Now, you've got to be careful saying these things, because unless they're actually motivated by the Holy Spirit of God, unless they're full of zealous and hot zeal, they're not going to go anywhere. How committed are we? Is our faith an everyday adventure? Are we working for God day by day by day? Or are you just here for the ride? Now, Jesus makes very strong words. Now, I don't know any of you, which is quite good, actually. When I'm preaching this word, someone said, you know, I said, good job you don't know anybody when you preach this word. Because actually what Jesus says is, if you're neither cold nor hot, I will... We politely say spit in the NIV, the ESV. The word actually in the Greek is vomit. I'll vomit you out of my mouth. Jesus is saying, lukewarm people make me sick. What a warning. That's a warning to us all. It's so easy to let go and just descend into just what we want, not what God wants. Let's all be open to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and not accommodate ourselves to the culture and the viewpoints of this world. We are in a world where we've got so much junk on social media, so much junk on the many, many channels on our televisions. So much junk. And we can get involved in it. And we can, it can take us away from a zealous love of God and Jesus. I remember, you can probably tell where I come from. I come from the north. I come from Yorkshire. And my granddad always used to, where we used to have coal fires. And when the coal fire was all dark and embers in the morning, and it looked as if it had gone out. I'm sure some of you people have done this anyway. I used to get a newspaper and put it in front of the fireplace. Yeah, you there? Put it in front of the fireplace. And then suddenly, behind the newspaper, the coals will start to roar upwards. Whoa! And if you weren't careful, the newspaper would catch fire. And my granddad always started doing that. And, you know, as the flames were rushing, rolls higher as the air famished in the flames. And it was looking for the oxygen. And the flames rose. And we need to separate the airflow in our world. Now, we haven't got a newspaper, but we have got the Word of God. And as we separate ourselves from the Word, using the Word of God, we can let the Holy Spirit flame us in fire, and we can rise in zeal and adoration. And we can open ourselves to the fire of the Holy Spirit. So I encourage you this morning to let the flames rise and burn. You see, Laodicea was a lukewarm life. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, I need nothing. Not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may be rich. And white garments so that you might clothe yourselves and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen. And salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. All these references in these verses refer to the situation of Laodicea, the town. Laodicea was prosperous, wealthy, it was rich. And Jesus said, no, you're poor. Spiritually, you might be materially rich, but you're spiritually poor. It was a banking, a commercial centre. It was also a clothing manufacturing centre. It produced a rich black wool. Jesus says, you're dressed in rags. Be clothed in the white robes of righteousness. Cover the nakedness of your sin. It was a place where you could get medicine and drugs, particularly eye balm, eye salve, for seeing problems. And Jesus says, yeah, anoint your eyes with my grace, my spirit, so that you might see. See need. See my work. See what I want you to do. It was a town full of beggars, blind, ragged, poor, who had crumbs from the rich man's table. And all this is implied in verse 17, to the spiritual condition of the Laodiceans. They were poor, blind, ragged beggars in the sight of God. Now there are three areas of lack in the church at Laodicea. And for all of us, I think we can pay attention to them. Firstly, indifference, apathy. They didn't care anymore. A shrug of the shoulders. Apathy, indifference can kill faith. Oh, easy come, easy go. I'm respectable, successful, and we can start being complacent. We can lose the zeal. Lose the zeal. Now, there are churches in our land where we've seen that happen over the last few hundred years. We've seen churches that have been zealous, full of the zeal, full of wanting to overturn the sin of the world, to bring the gospel to the poor and the needy. And 100 years later, these churches are full of complacent, respectable people. And the churches have begun to die. And when we look at our English history, and if you just look at the history of our churches, you can see that in so many of our churches, from different denominations. Because we've become indifferent, complacent. The second thing is ignorance. Do we recognize our need? Do we recognise that we're blind in some places? Do we look to Jesus constantly, his grace and salvation? Open my eyes, Lord, that I may see. I want to see more of your wonderful things. I want to see more of the power of you in my life. And independence. I need nothing. I come to the church, I want the church to support me. Me. Not what I can give. Not the reciprocal nature of church. We are family. We're called to support each other. We support to encourage each other, to admonish each other, to grow nearer to each other in Christian love and commitment to each other. Not to be independent spirits, wanting to go our own way. What can I get out of it? No. Laodicea was proud, self-reliant. And it was all worthless. Buy from me gold, Jesus says. The riches Jesus offers are the treasures of holy living. Your faith is greater worth than gold. Clothe yourselves in the white garments of righteousness. God looks on the heart, not on the outside appearance, the inside. And have salve to anoint your eyes. Don't be blind. Look to Jesus. Only he can give us true sight to see things as they really are. As we meditate on his word and in prayer, we have more of Jesus every day. Don't neglect coming to the word day by day. So we come to the very, very famous verse, don't we? Verse 19, 20. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. Now Jesus here is talking to us all. This verse is often used as an evangelical verse. The idea of, you know, come to Jesus, he's knocking on the door of your heart. Yes, but this door is the door of the church. Jesus is knocking on the church door of Laodicea. He's knocking on the church door of Gateway, of Woodingdale, of Kings. He's knocking on the church door and he's saying, open the door, church, and let me in. Let me into your church family. He's talking to us all. He loves us, so he rebukes us. He wants to reinstate us. He wants us to put us back on the right road. Love here means the dearest, closest form of affection. And Jesus wants us, compromised, indifferent, lukewarm. And he cares, he knows, and he cares. And if you're feeling like that this morning, know that he cares. And he wants you just to come back to him, come to him. He knows and he cares. Be zealous, he says. Hot, fire hot. Repent. Put things right. Turn round. The only care, the only cure for a lukewarm lifestyle is the readmission of the excluding Jesus into our community. This famous verse, of course, has been illustrated many times. It's a famous illustration, I'm sure you know it, called Behold, I Stand at the Door and Knock. It's by a Pre-Raphaelite artist called Holman Hunt. And he printed a few versions of it. There's one in St. Paul's Cathedral. There's another in Oxford. And in this picture, Jesus there is in a garden, and it's dark, and he's carrying a lantern, and he's knocking on a door. The door was a hut door in Ewell, near Epsom, apparently. And the interesting thing about the picture is there's no handle on the outside of the door. No handle on the outside, because the door can only be opened from within. Jesus stands outside. Open the door. Leave it open. And the medicine he offers, he loves us individually. He loves the church, and he seeks, he offers, he waits. Open the door. He had a lady in our life group was asking this week about the door and saying she'd been reading about the door in Noah's Ark, the door that was finally closed on the unrighteous. In the latter part of the book of Revelation, we have the closed door, One of the things you remember is that in the church of Philadelphia, Jesus said, "Behold, I've set before you an open door. An open door of witness." But one day, the doors are going to be closed, fully and finally, when the last judgment comes. Responsibility is on us. He wants complete lordship of our lives, of our church. So don't be held back by worldly things, by being too afraid of the demands that Jesus makes. Too ashamed, "Oh, Jesus can't love me for what I've done." Too hard, indifferent, wanting to go my own way. Jesus offers, "I will come in and eat with him." He's promising fellowship and feasting. He's promising, a real sense of communion. A feast, a festival, a giving and a taking. How do you react to the knocking on the door of the living Lord? So finally, we come to the promise. The one who conquers, I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Jesus says, if you allow me to feast with you here, you will sit and feast with me in heaven. You will be more than a conqueror. Wow, we'll be a conqueror. Sit down with Jesus. We'll move from rags to riches, from being a beggar to being a king or queen, from being blind to seeing. What an amazing promise to sit with Jesus in robes of righteousness. Glory, hallelujah. Now, as far as we know, no one in Laodicea really let Jesus in. As I said at the outset, Paul's letter to the Laodiceans is lost. And we could say, I wonder why, but we probably do know why. It was a letter that was disregarded. I can imagine some Laodicean said, there's an old letter here from Paul, just throw it away. And it tells you something about that church, that letter's gone. And if we don't open the door to Jesus, there's no future for us also. But when we do, a glorious future awaits us individually and as a church, where we reign and feast with the Lord Jesus in glory forevermore. Amen.